shiur, last week we discussed the very important details of the inner workings of a Beis Din, of if a person owes you money, how you get him to come to Beis Din, if you owe a person money, how you get that person to come to Beis Din, you know, how you send a person to Hazmana, as the Teveya, which is the plaintiff, as the Nitva, which is the defendant, right? Those were the issues that we discussed last week. Now, I want to discuss in this shiur another few very important topics, just to conclude the topic that we discussed last week. And we'll start firstly with the following issue. You send the person to Hazmana Ladin, right? Now the person can say, I can't come this week because this week I'm going on vacation to Florida, so I can't come to a Din Torah. What are the person's rights? When does a person not have to come to a Din Torah? That's the first question. When are you exempt? What's that? He can say, I'll come, but I'm going to come in a couple of weeks from now. I'm too busy now. I'm in the middle of a certain deal now. When do you have an exemption of coming to a Din Torah? And when does Beis Din not have the right to call people to Din Torah? So all of this is discussed in Chayshin Mishpat and Simon Hay. Firstly, there's a halacha that ain donen b'Shabbos v'Yontif. Shabbos and Yontif are 2 days which the Beis Din is closed. They don't open at all. As a matter of fact, the Magen Avraham brings down the famous Gemara in Sanhedrin, where the Gemara writes that the Sanhedrin would not walk into the Lishkas Hagozes. They wouldn't walk into their Sanhedrin offices on Shabbos because it looked like they were going to do business to. And again, the Sanhedrin is not doing business when they asking the questions. Very good. Excellent point. And I want to discuss that point because it's extremely, extremely important why the Beis Din does not actually work on Shabbos. I'll show in a few minutes. Let me first discuss why not. And then I'll get to your point. It's extremely important. Give me a few moments. We'll get to that issue. So Shabbos and Yontif, they're closed. Now, firstly, why? Why does Beis Din not actually sit down to do a Din Torah on Shabbos or Yontif? So in this question already is discussed in Orach Chaim, in Simon Shin Lamates, and it says, Ein Donin, and the reason that's brought down in Shin Lamates, Siv Dalet, is because the Beis Din is going to come Lidei Ksiva, to write, because the Beis Din is going to take notes. I mean, there's many facts that go in front of the Beis Din, and they're going to record the arguments, the tainus of each side. That's the simple reason that's given. Now, there's an interesting remor on that machaba of Ein Donin and Shin Lamates near in Orach Chaim, and it's interesting you see the difference of those times to today's times. He says, another halacha he writes is that if a person did something wrong and you had to put him into jail, again, what do I mean to put a guy into jail then? A person was over on Chil Shabbos or whatever it was, and they were going to give him Malkus. So what did they do if they were going to give him Malkus? So before they gave him the lashes, they would lock him up in jail to make sure he doesn't run away. Right? These type of situations. So the Ramah says that on Shabbos, you don't take a person and put him into jail because it goes under the umbrella of Ein Donin. That's what the Ramah writes. And he says, the Ramah says, V'im Yivrach, if he runs away, Ein Aleinu Klim. It's not our problem. If the person decides to run away, we're doing what Hashem commands us to do. And Shabbos is not the time that we're supposed to lock people up. There's an interesting lashon in the Medrash. The Medrash says that Shabbos is a time of rest for the good people and for the bad people, for the tzaddikim and for the rishoyim. Hashem, listen, Gehenna is closed on Shabbos, right? Gehenna is closed on Shabbos, right? But why do you make what's the inyan in making Matzei Shabbat as late as possible? Because we know that when we conclude Shabbos, that's when the neshamas go back to Gehenna, right? And the Sforim right that's going to happen to us too when we get to Shemayim. So the longer we kept Shabbos, the longer, because Hashem is going to say, okay, whatever, we should be zaychol to go to Olam Haba. But if a person has to, repay certain debts, so Hashem is going to say, when is Shabbos? Hashem is going to look at his clock. If the guy was in a rush to run, at the first man, so for him it's the first man. If a guy kept till the second man, so for him it's the second man. We are going to dictate when the zmanim actually are for Shabbos. It's interesting. There are certain people who have a minhag to have Shabbat for 31 hours, right? Have you ever heard of that minhag? That's because Shabbat is the 31st mitzvah in the Torah, right? Zochas Yom HaShabbos L'Katshoy is mitzvah Lamed Aleph. right? In the chinuch, that's what it actually is.
Taisa Shabbos,
not Bal Tosif. It starts from Chatzais on Friday. They used to go to Chatzais Matzah Shabbos. The Klozim Migareva held Shabbos for 31 hours. I tried in my shul to ask people they wanted to join me for 31 hours Shabbos. I haven't even found one person yet who was willing to join me on that. So, all right, listen, we keep a few minutes longer, but nothing of that sort. Now, when do we lock a person up and put him into jail on Shabbos? The Mishnah Berurah brings a case in Shin Lama Tesef Katan Yudalid. If a person wants to make his wife into an aguna, and he wants to run away and leave her that she shouldn't get a divorce, we take him and we lock him up. Or if there's a certain bit of information that the Bezdin must do it on Shabbos. For example, Eidus we don't accept on Shabbos. However, what happens if you have a person who knows a certain amount of Eidus, and the Eidus that he knows Eidus that a certain man died and his wife's allowed to get remarried, but he's a Shchiv Mara and he's about to die. In that case, the Bezdin will convene on Shabbos to accept the Eidus because it can't wait. So in a situation of an emergency, the Bezdin will actually sit on Shabbos. Another thing we don't do on Shabbos, Bezdin doesn't give Malkus on Shabbos. Firstly, because of the Chinuch that I told you before, that right, even for the bad people it's Shabbos. And the second reason is because of Chabura B'Shabbos. While you're giving Malkus, you might come to give a person a Chabura, which you can't do on Shabbos. Now, the Birkei Yosef...
Can they write notes?
No, the Bezdin will never be able to take notes. There's one case brought down on Shabbos where you can ask people to write for you. You can have a goy write for you. That's the case when you have to buy a property from a goy that's selling in Eretz Yisrael for the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. So you can purchase a home in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Gemara in the beginning of Gittin on Shabbat. That's the only case that's brought where you can have a goy write for you on Shabbat. But beside that case, there are no other cases. Now, the Birkei Yosef also writes that because of what I mentioned before from the Sanhedrin, that the Bezdin shouldn't sit around in the Bezdin room on Shabbos, right? Because it doesn't... There are a lot of things you don't do on Shabbos because it looks like you're doing something that you do usually in the weekdays. For example, you come in on Shabbos and you have your raincoat and it's dripping. So the Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch, you shouldn't hang it in the laundry room or right over the bathtub because somebody will think that you went and you washed that coat on Shabbos, right? That's what the Mechaber says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Shabbos. There are many such halachas. Now, Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz wrote a sefer called Urim V'Tumim on Choshen Mishpat, and Rabbi Yonatan Eibeshitz says that let's say Bezdin sees that a guy is going to learn how to argue his case as a lie if they don't corner him right now and get the true story from him. In that case, Bezdin is allowed to say, you know what? Just to accept the points, we are going to convene on Shabbos. Now, let's start to analyze a bit and start to discuss. A Bezdin can't sit on Shabbos. What did we say? The reason is because they might come to write. The Chadisha Harim, who was the first Ger Rebbe, asks a beautiful question. We learned the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos. Ein koyrin lo'or haneh b'Shabbos. You're not allowed to read to the candlelight on Shabbos. Why not? Shemayate. You might end up bending the candle, and if you bend the candle, right, you're gonna. But what does the Gemara Mishnah and the Gemara say an exception? One person. But how about if there is two people? It's no problem, it's a Shema. So the Chadisha Rim asks, a Bezdin always has three people. So if the Bezdin always has three people, why is there a concern that they can't have a Din Torah? Because one person might write, there's three people, so each one is a Shema to the other one that he shouldn't write. Yeah, but if you have all in current learning, if two people are learning together, then they're also allowed to. So you see that two people automatically, once there's a group of people, so the group of people watch on each other. So if you have three people, each person will watch.
Shemech Tov is not just the bedding, it's all the parties involved.
Okay. But so you can say that the Dayanim will watch. His main question is that since we see from the Sugi Deim Shabbos that if you're not on your own, you're exempt from Shemayata. And his main question, well, I hear exactly where you're coming from, but his point is that since there's a group of people, it should be okay. It's interesting that he writes something similar to what you say. He says that Rashi writes in in Masechta Sanhedrin by Ein Don B'Shabbos because you might write the Psak Din. He says he was always bothered. Why does Rashi write? Because you might write the Psak Din. So he says the answer is because the Gemara says that the Psak Din can be written by one of the Dayanim and then be presented to the other Dayanim. So the point being is that as the Din Torah is going on, it's similar to what you're saying. Very often a person will walk out, some of the Dayanim will walk out, one of them will write up the Psak, which can be done as an individual, and presented afterwards to the other ones. So there's really no foolproof situation to prove, to accomplish that there will be no writing will go on Shabbos. I mean, you make a very good point. You make a good point that how about the parties might also end up taking notes, right? One of the things that happens by Din Torah all the time, which is interesting to know the inner workings of a Din Torah, when one party speaks, the other party is not allowed to speak, right? But you see, as the other person speaks and he says certain points, you see the guy is like, you know, just from his facial expressions, like the words are coming out from him, like he's about to jump out of his skin. The Dayanim see the person's about to scream and he's not going to stop. They quickly take a pad and they put it, you know, with a pen, that he should quickly write down some notes. And it's specifically for this reason that the Beis Din will do exactly that. But now, let's discuss, now by the way, just one more point. Is the person who has a Din Torah on Sunday, is he allowed to set up his case on Shabbos? Can he approach another person and say, you know what, I have a Din Torah tomorrow, let's work on my case for tomorrow? The answer is no. And that goes into the category of V'Dabba Dava, right? Simon Shin Zayin in Hilchos Shabbos is that V'Dabba Dava, on Shabbos you're not allowed to prepare your business. The interesting question which is discussed is does the Dayan who had his case on Thursday allowed to spend his Shabbos going through the case in order to rule on the case? And there the answer is yes, because for the Dayan it's not business, it's Torah. And since for the Dayan it's Torah and it's not business, right? For the person it's business, for the Dayan it's Torah. So it's interesting that the person can't discuss his case on Shabbos. The Dayan could discuss his case on Shabbos. Now, you mentioned a very interesting point, and your question was, why is a Din Torah on Shabbos not a Din Torah on Shabbos? And I want to go a step further into that, because it's going to answer a few very interesting questions. The Mechaber says, Ein Donim. Then the Mechaber says, but V'im Don, Dinoy Din. If you actually did have a Din Torah on Shabbos, so that whatever the ruling was, the ruling is upheld and the ruling is a ruling. Which leads us to an extremely important question. The Erech Shai asks a very interesting question. He says as follows. He says, we know that the Magen Avraham writes in Siman Shin Lama Tes and Shulchan Aruch that if a person took Truma on Shabbos, the Truma is not considered Truma. Why? Because it has the same din of Hamavashel B'Shabbos, right? If somebody cooks on Shabbos, it's also to have Hana from that food on Shabbos. Similarly, if you take Truma on Shabbos, the Magen Avraham says, so that food is not considered, right, Mitukan, it's not considered fixed and corrected, because it's Takana B'Shabbos, which is Exera D'Rabbanan, and V'loy Ahani Maisav, his actions did not accomplish anything. So the Erech Shai asks this question, and the Noid Behuda, the Tzlach, in his Sefer also asks this question. He says, according to that, if you had a Din Torah on Shabbos, and Chazal tell us what? Ein Donin, which is so it's an Issa D'Rabbanon, just like when a person took Truma on Shabbos. The Truma is not considered taken when a Din Torah happened on Shabbos. The conclusion should be that there is no Din Torah. Why does the Mechaber rule that ain donin, but v'im don, dinoi din? Very, very important question. And from this question, we'll start to understand why don't you sit on a Din Torah on Shabbos, and if you did, if it's a Din Torah or not. So the Erech Shai answers a very beautiful question, a beautiful answer, and he says as follows. He says, why, if you took Truma, is it not considered Truma? Because since you weren't allowed to do that action on Shabbos, so loy ahani maisav, his action is not considered like he accomplished anything. He didn't do anything. So the Erech Shai says, but let's think about this. What happens? Reuven owes money to Shimon, right? Reuven owes money to Shimon. And Reuven goes when he owes the money to Shimon, and the Beis Din says, yes, Reuven owes the money to Shimon. Did Beis Din do anything to correct anything, that doesn't do anything which is not the regular situation. Of course, Reuven owes Shimon the money. So what did Bezdin do? And he says, what's the gzeira going to be? So we're going to make a gzeira that because you ruled on Shabbos, the correct answer, so now Reuven does not owe Shimon the money. It doesn't make any sense. It's not something which is logical that you can conclude that. The Tzlach says that he has another addition to this answer, the Noid Behuda says. The Noid Behuda says the two parties, right, the two Baladinim, were also over on doing a din b'Shabbos. So the person that is obligated to pay, he went and he made a mistake, and he sat in a din Torah on Shabbos. So the Noid Behuda says, we have a concept in Chazal, Shaloi Yehei Choytei Niska, right? You have a person who does an Avera, you're not supposed to gain because you did an Avera. Now if you say Reuven that owes the $100 to Shimon suddenly becomes potter because it happened on Shabbos, so you have a classic case of Shaloi Yehei Choytei Niska. So for any of the two reasons that we discussed, the Din Torah, once the Din Torah happened, the Din Torah actually is a Din Torah. But whoever thinks about it, there's a much stronger question every one of us should ask. And the stronger question every one of us should ask is that the Dayan who sat on the Din Torah on Shabbos was Oiver and Issa the Rabbanon. A Dayan that's Oiver and Issa the Rabbanon is not a Dayan. So the ruling is not a ruling because the Dayan is not a Dayan. That's the question which we all should be thinking of, right? Why is the Dayan considered a Dayan? The Mechaba Paskins in Shulchan Aruch.
What does that mean? If the Dayan made it a sur, the Rabbanan, he is pasul from becoming Dayan.
Mechaba in Shulchan Aruch, Hashem Mishpat, Simin Lama Dalet, Siv Gimel. The Mechaba says that a Dayan was Oivan Issa Deraisi, he's not a Dayan. And if he's Oivan Issa Derabanan, he's also not a Dayan. That's what
does that mean, Dayan? Basul?
Yeah, but, and if he ruled, his ruling is not a ruling.
It's basul.
That's it, he's out.
So if a Dayan is over on Issud
al-Banan? Bekvias, right, obviously, which means that's...
Bekvias.
Enachanami, but a person that goes and he's... If a Dayan is Mechal Shabbos b'fahesya, so he's not... Mechal Fachil Shabbos, by the way, even one time, right? Shaychet b'Shabbos is a whole discussion, right? When he becomes posel. Before the Shechita, after the Shechita. But after the Shechita, everybody says he's posel. Mechaba says even in Issa d'Rabbanan on Shabbos, same thing. So what do you do? According to the Mechaba, you have a very serious issue because the Dayan is not a Dayan. Now, the Ramah argues with the Mechaba. So for the Ashkenazim, you have an explanation. Wait, let me tell you what the explanation for the Ashkenazim is. The Ramah says that if, when do you say that an Issur de Rabbanan will negate that he's not a Dayan? That's only in one situation. That's only in a situation when he ruled on an Issur de Rabbanan that is a Tzad Momon, which means he's over on a de Rabbanan. He says, the Ramah says that the Rabbanan doesn't really make you not a Dayan, except if it's a de Rabbanan that you did because of money. If you did a de Rabbanan because of money, so you're not a Dayan. But, so according to the Ramah, you can say it's not a money issue. But according to the Mechaba that says that every Issa de Rabbanan, you're not a Dayan, so you're back to square one. How is the Din Torah a Din Torah? So the explanation that they say, according to the Mechaba, is that the Mechaba has certain exceptions that a Dayan who does still remains a Dayan. And what are those exceptions? For example, let's say a person buries a mace on the first day of Yontif, right? The first day of Yontif, you're not supposed to bury anybody. So the Mechaba says, but if you bury somebody on the first day of Yontif, which is an Issa, and it turns out to be an Issa de Rabbanon on what you did, so the Mechaba says you remain a Dayan because you thought it was a mitzvah what you were doing. So here too, since the Dayan thought it was a mitzvah, he still remains to be a Dayan. But here's the big question. How about if the Dayan took money? So if the Dayan took money, then it's a Derabbanan and it's a Tzad Mamon. So then even according to the Ramah, the Dayan shouldn't be a good Dayan. But I'll take this a step further. If you remember, we discussed in the Shir last week that there are two types of Dayanim. There's a Dayan that the parties choose, and there's a Dayan that's done bekfia, which means he, like in a city, or he forces himself amongst the parties that they must listen to him. Now, let's go back to the point that you made before. Bishleim, if the two parties accept the Dayan, then we can have our discussion. But if the Dayan forced the people, What did we learn? A dayan today, why does he have any power of jurisdiction? Because shlichasayu dekadmoy kavdinan, right? The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Masech Sanhedrin, which means they're only doing the shlichas of the previous Rabbanim because today there's no bezin smuchim. So if that's the case, how could you say shlichasayu dekadmoy kavdinan when you did it in a time that the kadmoy said you have no right to do the entire? So even when the Mechaber said v'im don dinoy din, that has to be that Vimdan Dinay Din only because they accepted him. But if they didn't accept him and he forced himself amongst the parties, then I agree with you, it will actually not be a Din Torah. Now, the next question is, how about if you get a letter to come to Bezin, and you get the letter to come to Bezin on Friday? Would you go to Bezin on Friday? Right? Friday, would you go? You go to Yeshiva on Friday? Huh? You go to Yeshiva? So, okay, so you don't have time to go to Bezin on Friday, huh? The answer is that you shouldn't really go to Bezin on Friday. You know why? Because on Friday, they wanted that it's a day you're in a rush. And the Mishnah tells us, right, in Masechtas Avos, Havei Mesinim Bedin. When you have a din Torah, you're supposed to be relaxed. The dayan is not supposed to be rushed. And if the dayan is rushed, that's not a way to have a din Torah. So the Ramah comes along, and the Ramah says that even though you shouldn't have a din Torah on a Friday, but they started to say you can have a din Torah on Friday because of Bittul Beis HaMedrash, because Friday used to be the day off in Yeshiva. Right? Don't tell that to your Rebbe. He won't appreciate that. But Friday ended up being the day off in the Yeshiva. And since Friday ended up to be the day off in the Yeshiva, so the Rabbeim, the Malamdim, who were the Dayanim, they suddenly had them for the day. The Sma writes that it depends in Halacha what type of situation it is. If the situation is that we're talking about a case of Isur, then nobody can waive it and it can never be on Friday. What's a case of Isur? A get. We will never do a get on Friday. Right? Extreme emergency, because maybe you'll rush and you'll make a mistake. Chalitza, you don't do on Friday, right? If anybody's ever been to a chalitza, once in a while they put up announcements all over the place that people should come, because chalitza is supposed to be a public affair, right? And you're supposed to announce it, right? The Yikra Shmoy B'Yisrael, Beis Chalitza Nol. So people announce when there's a Chalitza. So you don't do that on Friday. But at Din Torah, if the two parties both accept to do it on Friday, then you can actually do it on Friday. Now, if you want to know of a real, real vacation, there's 1 month, I can tell you, that's 2 months of the year that Dayanim are on vacation. And they don't have to work at all. I think we have a lot of people going to join the profession now. If you know you can get 2 months out of the year off. What are those 2 months out of the year? Tishrei and Nisan. Because in Nisan, right, everybody's busy preparing for Pesach. So if you're busy preparing for Pesach, nobody has time for a din Torah. So it's an interesting thing. If you send the person a hazmana to come in Nisan, and most bezdins won't send out a letter that you need to come in Nisan, so then you're off. The person's off the hook. The other time you're off the hook is in Tishrei, right? Why are you off the hook in Tishrei? Because in Tishrei, right, you're busy Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, you know, you're busy with all the different things of Yontiv. So in those times, a person is basically off, you know. Now, the truth is that the Bezin has a right to say that even though we're usually off in these Zmanim, but if they see that a person is using it as an excuse not to do the right thing, they can force a person to come to the din Torah even then. Even though we usually don't have a din Torah, or the din Torah is already in process, so they can continue it then. But, l'katchila, you don't. I mean, one of the most favorite incidents I've once seen, you know, as a dayan years ago, I remember there was a certain person that didn't want to pay a very large amount of money that he owed to another person. So what did he do? I remember the Bezin felt there was an emergency, and the Bezin did send him an Azmana, even though it was in Tishrei. And the person got the Azmana 3 days before Yom Kippur. And he responded to the Dayanim that I don't have time to come to pay the millions of dollars that I owe because it's Erev Yontif, so I don't have time to come. I'm busy preparing Yontif. So I remember Raivelsky, should be gesund, he responded, listen, there's a Yontif coming up in 3 days and now it's called Yom Kippur. The way to prepare for that Yontif is by usually paying up your bills. That's how you could prepare for Yom Kippur. You know, it's a pretty bad Yontif to use as an excuse that you can't come because you have to, you got to pay because you don't want to pay your bills. because you're busy preparing for Yontif. But that halacha is Me'ikah Adin. It's an interesting question, because the Gemara says that in Chodesh Nisan, so the Chavos Yoh has a discussion, how about after Pesach, right? These 7 days that are left after Pesach till the end of the month. The Gemara says just Chodesh Nisan. I guess some people are busy, you know, turning back their Pesach kitchens and all the other things they have to do, and they don't have time to come for the rest of the month. Now, how about if you had a baby boy, and a person sends you hazmana? There were certain cities that the first 8 days that a person had, from when a person had a baby boy till the bris, he didn't have to come to Bezdin, right? A chosen, sheva brachas, also is an exemption. In many places, 3 days before, in many days places, 7 days before. Okay, a Bezdin didn't historically sit at night. Ain donen belailas brought down, right? There's a steer, there's two psukim. It says, v'shafti esam b'chaleis, right? It says, v'hoye b'yoim hanachili esbonav. So the Gemara asks the steer. The Gemara says, the tchilas din, the entire used to start by day. The entire used to conclude at night. Today, we're much more make on this question, because today people choose the Bezdin, so they're mekabel on themselves the Bezdin. The Sma writes, a very interesting thing, the Sma writes that if you have light bulbs, right? If you light candles, then you can have a dentoire even at night. The main issue of having a dentoire at night seems to be, according to the Sma, that when people would lie, if you weren't looking at them in the face, they would have an easier time lying, right? That's what the Sma writes. But if you look at them in the face, and then when they say something which is not correct, so they would never do that if you were actually looking at the person in the face. L'shach disagrees very strongly. L'maisa today, on all of these halachas, if the two parties agree to sit in any of these times when you're not allowed to sit, everybody will agree, everything is fine. If the two parties don't agree, everything is fine, then you have a issue, and L'ketchil Bezin will not be able to force the dentire. No, now a person gets to the dentire and they have to pick the dayanim, and he has a problem. His problem is that the dayan is his best friend. No, can the dayan be your best friend or not? Right? And the answer is obviously not. Right? It says a person can't be an oyhev, can't be a good friend, even if it's not oyhavay asha kenafshoy. Even if it's not your best friend, you cannot use this person for a din Torah. What's that? Oh, Aldi Ramos says that in a Zabla system, you could take a friend. The concept of a friend is only in a Bezdin Hashoveh. In a Zabla system, agreed. Yes, you can take a friend for a din Torah. Another person you can't take in a din Torah is a soine, an enemy. You also not allowed to have in a din Torah. Right? The famous question which the Bikur Yosef asks is, what happens if you have one person that's a friend of both of the parties? So each one says, it's no problem to take him because he's my friend. Right? So if each one agrees that he's willing to take him because he's his friend, what's the story? So the Bikur Yosef says you can't sit in that entire, because who can measure friendships? I don't know, maybe he's a better friend to you, he's a better friend to you. You don't know. Each one says he's his friend, but obviously he's a better friend to one of the two of them. There's the famous story in the Chassam Sofer when a person took a dayan and the dayan was his enemy. That's the famous story. There's a Tshuva Chassam Sofer. And he says, I accept that my enemy, the Rav who's my enemy, should be my dayan. And he says, so what can be wrong with that? So the Chassam Sofer says, no, the enemy is not allowed to be the dayan, because the enemy is going to have to show such appreciation for the party, for choosing him, that he's going to have to go out of his way to make him right. So the Chassam Sofer says he can't either be his dayan in that type of situation. Now, the truth is that when it comes, exactly like you said, if it comes to a situation of a Zabla, right, where there's a Zeber Le'echad, then it will be no problem. If each side will choose a Dayan, then you can take even any of your friends. There happens to be a fascinating tshuva which is written in the Chavos Yoyah. I just found this tshuva so fascinating because of the many halachas that's written in it. It's in the end of the Chavos Yoyah, in the Hashmotos to the Sefer. But it's also fascinating because you listen to the story, what happened. He writes that Reuven and Shimon had a din Torah. So they went to a Zabla, where each one chose their own dayan. After Reuven and Shimon had that din Torah, so Shimon chose for his dayan the mechutin of Reuven. Right, so get this. What do you do? Shimon took Reuven's mechutin, right? That's
son-in-law.
Huh? Not the son-in-law.
Not the father-in-law.
The mechutin means some Reuven's daughter married his son. What do you call that? How do you?
Consuegro.
Oh, what do you say? How do you call it?
It's a Spanish word. Consuegro.
So there you go. Consuegro. Consuegro. So that's what he did. So Reuven took
the Schwer and the
Schwigge. Exactly. But Reuven, the Schwer and the Schwigge. So listen, the Schwigge you definitely shouldn't take into the Torah. That's a really, really bad idea. But listen to this case. He took the mechutin of the other person, which means that he took his, which means his child's family members. So listen to the story. So Reuven came back to Shimon and says, excuse me, you can't take my mechutin to the, as you're dying. You're not allowed to do that. So he went to the Chavos Yo, and the Chavos Yo, he says he could take him because it was a case of a Zabla. And as you told us, that by a Zabla, you can take a friend. And the Shulchan Aruch says, why can't you take a mechutin? Because he's an Oyev, he's a good friend. Right? The only thing which is interesting to me, if Shimon took Reuven's mechutin, I don't know what kind of friend he was to Reuven. If he came to defend the other person, I don't know, maybe he meant to say that you can take an enemy of the other person in a zablo. That's probably what he meant to say by the tshuva. He was just speaking in a nice way about his about the family members there. But in any event, that's what the halacha is. There's also a fascinating Bikur Yosef, which is worthwhile for everyone to see. It's a Das, a Kain in Bali, a Toisfis. And you know, you have in the shul, and you have many other situations where you do a mitzvah, and in order, you get a group of people together to do it. So you need to form like a board, right, in order to do something. What happens when you have a group of people that get together to do a mitzvah, but one person is very hot-headed, and one person is very calm, and one person is very quick, and one person is very thought out? So usually there ends up being, you know, tremendous differences of opinions and disagreements, and before you turn around, there's no way for these few people to work together on one board. Well, let's talk about it. Dayonim. You have one person that's very quick, and one person's very thought through, and one person's hot-headed, and one person's calm. So it's just not a match. It doesn't work. So the Bikur Yosef says that these groups of people shouldn't be on one board or together as a group of dayonim. And believe it or not, he has a pasuk in the Torah that supports that. The pasuk in the Torah is Loi Tzachroish Beshor V'chamor Yachtov. That's what he writes. That since the Torah was makpid on Shatnez, that you shouldn't mix certain animals together. And why was the Torah concerned you shouldn't mix certain animals together? For one reason, because it's tsar. One pushes, one's relaxed, and that's the reason. So he says, similarly, if the Torah was makpid that animals of different personalities shouldn't work together, so people of different personalities should definitely not work together. So Bikur Yosef brought in Pesachei Tshuva in Shulchan Aruch, and besides being Bikur Yosef, it's a das, a kain, and bali, a toisvis on the pasuk of Leisachosh B'Shoev HaMor Yachta. Philip Floyd, the Taisvist that says this this point. Now, there's a case that you have, and this was interesting in the communities in Europe where there was one Bezdin for the city. There used to be certain cases in the community that the Bezdin of the city could not rule on those cases. What's that? There are times that the Bezdin has a certain tzad mamoin, which means a certain tzad hano, a certain financial interest in the case. For example, we were in the old shtetl, and there was one bezdin, and there was one shul, and there was a sefer Torah. And now suddenly there was a disagreement if the sefer Torah belongs to the shul, to the community, or it belongs to the private person. Can the bezdin of the city rule on that case? The answer is absolutely not. Why is the answer absolutely not? Because if there's a sefer Torah, they go to shul, and they have Kriyat Torah from that Sefer Torah. But what's that?
It's Negiyut.
It's called a Tzad Hano. In any case that a person has any form of a Tzad Hano, he's off. He's not allowed to be a Dayan on that case. So what would they do historically? They would do something called Siluk. Siluk means they would remove themselves and they would commit themselves that if the community would win the Sefer Torah, they would never go hear Kriyat HaTorah from this Sefer Torah. So that wasn't always practical. For example, let's say there was a Din Torah historically. I'm telling you, historical Din Torah is what you see. They would have a Din Torah over one of the shuls in the community. So a Dayan would have the right to sit on the case if he would put in a plea of siluk, which means that he would never step into that shul again for the rest of his life. Or if there was but sometimes you couldn't do it. If there was only one shul in the community, you couldn't do that. And then it would have to defer the people out of the community. There was another case historically that they would have a problem. They wouldn't be able to sit on the case. When a person said, ten mona l'aniye iri, a person made a pledge to give tzedakah to the people of the community. And after he made the pledge to give tzedakah to the people of the community, he said, no, I don't owe the money. So now, the aniyim, right? Remember, it's one of the things which, we discussed this a few weeks ago, which is unfortunate in New York, that we don't have the structure of a real structure of a community the way it was historically. But the people in a community are obligated to support the poor people of that community. And if there's no money in the community, so what do they have to do? They used to tax the people, right? Based on the amount of people that lived in your home, based on your income, they would tax you in order to pay. So if another person who pledged to support the poor people of your community suddenly doesn't come through with his pledge, so the dayan has to take more money out of his pocket. So there's a tzad mamon that ends up personally to your pocket. So all of those cases, you can't sit under the entire. One more case we'll discuss, which is a very, very important case, and there's a lot of discussion on this case. What happens when a person gets a hazmana that he should come to Din Torah, and it says that Reuven calls you that you should come to Din Torah to answer allegations that he has against you? So you turn back to the Bezna and you say, what's the issue? What are we talking about? Right? And you start to ask questions, and the Bezna says, no, he doesn't want to talk. As far as he's concerned, he feels you owe him money. Come to Bezin. Come down to court. You'll hear your case. But till you come to court, you're not hearing the case. Are you obligated to walk into a Bezin blindly without hearing what the person has against you? It's a very important question. Now, the truth is that the Shach writes that this is a tremendous machloikis. There's a Be'er Sheva that writes that a person can send a hazmana without ever saying what his argument is. And his proof is from a Gemara in Shvi'is HaDayonim, and it's a Gemara in Cheskes HaBatim, where the Gemara has a Loshen, the Gemara says that where the Gemara they discuss is by Chazokis. And the Gemara says there has to be a Chazoka with a Taina. Right? Anybody that learned the beginning of Ches Sabbatim went through the sugya chazaka with a tainim. Then the Gemara says that how about if a person suddenly comes up with a new tainim in front of Bezin that he didn't have that argument before he came into Bezin. They had a tremendous argument outside, and then they walked into Bezin and they had this argument. So the Gemara says there's no proof that the person doesn't have this tainim because chazaka loy megala inshi Tanoisov chutz lebezin. A person doesn't present his arguments out of Bezin. Because if I present my arguments to you out of Bezin, what are you going to do? You're going to prepare yourself how to counter respond when you come into Bezin. That is the raya of the Be'er Sheva. The Shach disagrees, and the Shach says no. The Shach says let's discuss that case. That case in Bava Basra, when a person didn't tell you his arguments, yes, he didn't tell you his arguments, but did you know what the issue was? Absolutely. You're not walking into Bezin blindly, and you're not walking into Bezin without knowing anything what the issue is. Thus, I've seen certain people call other people to Bezin, and they say, tell me, what are we discussing? Is it money? Is it something else? Which business deal? And the person won't want to say. So the Shach says, then you don't have to go anymore. If you want to tell me the taina, what we're discussing, but you don't want to give me the detailed arguments, you just say, look, I'm asking you to come to Bezin because you owe me $100,000 regarding this and this business deal, this venture. So that, the Shach says, you can say. But not to even say any argument, that already you're not allowed to say. But this is a tremendous argument. I mean, the Shach says that the reason why you don't have to say all of the Shach says, and others say that you have to say what your argument is. The Shach wants to say the reason why you have to say your argument because the person can say back that, look, if you'll tell me what it is, maybe I'll pay you right now. So the Shvus Yaakov argues back and says, what kind of argument is that? Go to Bezin, and if you feel in front of Bezin you owe the money, you'll pay. And you want to say that I'm the type of person that is inappropriate, I'm too high of a person to go to Bezin, so you can get something called a Morsha. Morsha means you can give another person a power of attorney, and he'll argue for you. So it goes back and forth, this question.
Can he buy some more time after you hear?
What's that? Yes, you could go to Bezin, And a person can hear the argument and say, look, I'm not prepared to respond on these arguments. Now that I hear the arguments, I'll come back and I'll bring my appropriate proof. A person could do that 100%. Yes, absolutely. 100% he can do that. The bottom line, I'll quote the Aruch HaShulchan, what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. You can't, the Aruch HaShulchan says as follows. The Chacham Tzvi says that the bottom line is that the ruling is going to end up being like the Shach. And the Shach is going to say that you need to say something. Why? Because the bottom line is, there's a disagreement. And once there's a disagreement in Chayshon Mishpat, you say Kimli, which means I rule like the other opinion. Now, you want me to come to Bezim with you, so I say I rule like the Shach, that you have to tell me what the issues are. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan just adds a very beautiful point, and the Aruch HaShulchan says, you can't just ignore the Bezim for that reason. You have to respond to the, because then there's a loss of the Beidina, and if you chaper with the Bezin, they can be Messiah of you. You respond to the Bezin, I would come, but on the other hand, I don't know what it's about, so therefore I'm not coming to the Bezin. At that point, the Bezin will tell you the time of what it is, but which means they'll tell you that he feels you owe him money. But he, regarding this case, but you have time is that you did pay him, you didn't pay him, and all the details, that already you're not machuyif to say what your details are, why it's a taina, that already you can discuss at a later point. So that concludes this topic. And Bezat Hashem, the next shiur, it's going to be a very interesting shiur. The next shiur, which next week Purim, there's no shiur next week on Purim, but the following week, it'll probably be 2 weeks, I'm going to be going to Europe for 1 week, but the next shiur is going to be on the topic of taking the law into your own hands. This is a very, very important topic. The concept of Avadin is Dina Lenafshe. When you know a person owes you money, are you truthfully always obligated? You know a person clearly owes you money. He owes you $25,000. So he's sitting in front of you in shul, and he puts on his tefillin in the morning, and he takes off his Rolex, and he puts it on his talus bottle. Right? So what, I got to go to Bezin for? Here's my $25,000. It's sitting in front of me. And finish. So you just take his watch, right? And you take it along with you. You put it in your talus bottle. That's it. You want it in Torah. What do you have to go to Bezin for, right? Huh? That's called Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe. It's a very important topic, and there are a lot of variations, and sometimes it gets even more complex. We'll start off first one shear on Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe, and after we'll conclude that, it gets even more complicated. Then we have to discuss Mesira, how Mesira plays a role, because sometimes by taking the law into your own hands, you do certain things that go into Mesira, which is an even more complicated topic. That'll be Metz Hashem the next few shiurim.